The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther u'Hashem Tanichanu ben Eden. And we begin today's daf on Saddi Gimal Amud Bet, and we start from the Mishnah. Okay, now we discuss different items that if a person is a Shomer, or let's say Shomer Sachar, right? So we say Shomer Sachar is patur on Ones. What is considered an onus? You know, what has to happen to be considered that it's out of his control, that, you know, that he's not responsible? So give it us this. Ze'ev echad in onus. One wolf attacking, that's not considered onus. You could stop that. Shnei ze'evim onus. Two of them, but it's considered onus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'sha'at mishalachat ze'evim av ze'ev echad onus. When there's a plague of ze'evim, that she says, "Shehayara mishulachat begezrat haMelech." The king is sending wild animals out to attack. Then even one is considered ones. Shnei kelavim in ones. Two dogs attacking is not considered ones. Yadua haBabli Omer, that's a rabbi's name. Mishum Rabbi Meir meruach echad in ones. If two dogs are coming from one direction, it's not ones. Mishteru hot ones, but if it's coming from two sides, so it's ones because you cannot protect yourself. Halistim areze onus. As she learns, the steam is even one robber. The steam, though, what's written plural over here, it means one robber already is considered onus. And we're talking about over here where they're coming like armed, because then already he cannot protect himself. Ha'ari, that's a lion. Hadov, that's a bear. Hanamer, that's a leopard. Bardelas is a certain animal. Polecat, they call it. Okay, but a hatch is a snake. Hare elu onis. Even one of these, that's considered already an onis. Ema type is my chibahu me'elehin. Now, this is only talking about where the shepherd was staying in his place and the animals came to him. Abal odichan nemakum gidudeh hayav elistim. But if he brought them to the danger, eno onis. And it's not considered an onis. Meta kedarka hare ze onis. If it died natural death, that's considered onis. Sagfa umeta, where she says, inna berahav, you didn't feed the animal. So you starved it. You put it in the sweltering sun in the summer, or in the cold. So that already is called sagfa. You torture it. Like she says from Bamidbar, la'anot nafesh, they explain it as sagfa. Sagfa means to torture the animal. That eno onis. Al taleros sukin v'naflaf, so the animal went on its own to the top of the cliff, and then it fell off. Hareze onis. He'ila l'roshe sukin v'naflaf meta enot. But if you brought it up to the top of the cliff, and then it, if the ship brought it up, then it's his problem, and therefore it fell. It is not considered an onus. Okay, now she says, "Al tal lerosh tzukin." What's the case? Ukim na beperek mafkid takafto, which means he tried to hold back the animal, but the animal resisted him. Ve'al tal tzukim harim hadim ve'givohim. So she tried to stop it, but he wasn't able to stop it. And if it overpowered him, then he's going to be patur. Because the animal went up by himself. Comes the Gemara and says, Behad tanya ze'ev echad ones. You said in my Mishnah that one wolf is not considered ones. But we have a bride that says one wolf is ones. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Hayi b'sha'at b'shalachat ze'evim v'Rabbi Yehuda. Right, we'll say that's the time of the, where the king is sending wolves, like we learned in the Mishnah called Rabbi Yehuda, that when the king is sending the wolves, that even one is considered dangerous, and therefore it's considered honest. Comes Gemara and says, "Halistim hareze honest." Amai, why is listim honest? Luki gavra la de gavra, which means let the guy fight him. It's one against one. Let the shomer fight. Amara bilistim mizuin. It's talking about arm robbers. Nothing to do with fighting. He has weapons. Ibayelihu listim mizuin v'ro'em mizuyan mahu. Let's say they're both armed. The ganav is armed and the shepherd is armed. So now the question is it considered an onus? What's the two sides? Mi amrinan uki gavra la'ade gavra. Do you say it's one against one now? So therefore it's not an onus. Odilma hay masar nafshe v'hay lo masar nafshe. The ganav is going all the way. He's going to mosin nefesh. He'll die even. So therefore he's going to fight harder because he's going into this over here even at risk of his life. As she says, she's language is hay masar nafshe halistim al menat ken ba. They came to fight or to die. Or lihareg or harog. They came either to get killed or to kill. V'yikach mamon avadaro'eh. He's not going to give his life for this over here, so therefore it's not his fault. Therefore it's considered honest. That's the Gemara's question. Gemara's mistabra, it makes sense. Tehai masar nafsheh, tehai lo masar nafsheh. The ganav is going to sacrifice life, therefore, and the Ro'eh does not have to, will not, therefore it's considered ones. Which means, let's say the Ro'eh found the Ganav, before the Ganav even took away any money from him. He just saw the Ganav, he knows, oh, that's the Ganav. He starts calling him all sorts of names. The Amalei told him, Ganava, you thief, Sarya, you Musrah, you, you know, smelly guy. Yeah, he's causing trouble. He tells him, you rotten thief, right. Biduchta planya yatvina. He's, listen, we're over here. He tells him where he is. We're sitting over here, right? Then we have so and so, how many people we have with us over here, we're ready for you. Then we have so many dogs with us that will fight. Zukta is slingshots. We're ready for you. Now all of a sudden the Ganav was taunted. He came after them. Now the question is, my Amale Hare Olichan Lemakom Gidude Hayav Elistim. That's like he brought himself to the Ganav. By embarrassing him and calling him all those names, you taunted him. That's like bringing the animals to the danger. Therefore, that's not considered honest. As she says, Hare Olichan, third line down, Shizkin lo hamakom shabe mocham. Right? He told him exactly the place where he is. And he gave him gidufim, he cursed him out, so he taunted him, and therefore he caused him, he brought him on himself. Comes again and says, next Mishnah, actually the last Mishnah of the Perek. Matne shomer chenam liyot patur mishivua. Vashoel liyot patur milishalem. Nose sachar vasochel liyot peturin mishivua umilishalem. So the deen over here was like this: a person can make a condition with a shomer chenam to be patur from a shivua. Normally, if let's say there's a geneva ve'aveda, right? So a shomer chenam is able to make a shivua. Shivua shelo pashati, and therefore he's going to be patur. However, they can stipulate from the beginning: I'm not going to make you swear. You don't have to swear. If it's geneva ve'aveda, you're patur without making a show. You can make that condition before the shemina starts. Again, matneh shomer chenam liyot patur. I don't want to make a shivua. Vashoelu patur milishalem. And you can make a condition on the borrower. We said the borrower is the worst. He's chayavin everything. You can make a condition, the bargain, I'm borrowing it, but I'm not paying. Something happens to it, I'm off talking. Make that condition. No sense. Kal vashoel liyot patur milishivua milishalem. Normally, shomer sachar, sometimes he has to swear in certain cases, like an ones, he has to swear that it was an ones. Or let's say geneva ve'aveda, he has to pay. They can make a stipulation of Shomer Sechar, I'm not swearing, I'm not paying. Okay, even though the Torah law is, this guy's how you have to swear, this guy's how you have to pay. If they pre-stipulated, that's okay. Now the Gemara Mishnah continues. Now this seems to contradict what we just said. But it just says, anybody that makes a condition on something that's said in the Torah, the condition is nullified. Which means, make believe the condition is non-existent, and therefore you just have to fulfill the regular law of the Torah. Now, seemingly, it's a contradiction. You just told me you can be matneh on these shomrim, and then you tell me, by the way, anybody that makes a tenai on something that's written in the Torah, the tenai is worthless. Continue. V'chol tenai sheyesh ma'aseh b'tchilato tenai b'tchilato. Now we're learning the rules of conditions. Any condition that the action is placed before the condition is batel. Where do we learn this from? And what does that mean, actually? Rashi says, Shehigdim ma'aseh she'alav la'asot l'tnai. Which means, he put what he has to do, the action, before the condition. Shehu shoel mimenu. Kegon. Hare ma'aseh zeh shelcha, im ta'aseh davar ploni. He says, I'll give you this, if you do this and this. So the action is coming before the condition. If you do this and this is the condition. I will give you this as the action. If the action comes before the condition is nullified. How do we know that? So it says, Delodami litnai binegad ubneru uben. The source of all tenaim comes from tenai binegad ubneru uben. When Moshe Rabbeinu was making the deal with them to go fight on the other side of the Jordan with the Jewish people. What did it say? Im ya'avru untatem. If, he made the condition first, if you cross over to Jordan and fight with us, then we will give you the land. So you see, condition came first, then the action. So that's the way conditions have to be done. You always put the condition first, followed by the action. That's the rule. Haynu tenai kodem lemaaseh. Or, im ta'aseli adavar hazeh ashuvar esonecha. Which means, if you do for me this item over here, I will come back and shepherd your animals. So again, condition and then action. Haynu tenai sheshuel mimenu kodem maaseh shalav lazo. But otherwise, if you did it the wrong way, which is if you put the maaseh first, tenai batel means there's no condition, then the maaseh is kayam. Then you have to do the maaseh regardless. You can't say, but I made a stipulation, your stipulation is worthless. You put it in the wrong order. Therefore, the maaseh has to be done.
It's done. Right?
Regardless. It's done. It's done. It stays. Maaseh mikuyam.
Saying the way you phrased it?
Yes. Yes, the way he phrases it. You got to phrase it like the Torah says to phrase it. Benegadim neruben, the Tanai was first. If you cross, then you get the land. That's the way it's got to be phrased. You phrase it in the wrong way, Tanai is worthless. It's batel umutal, and therefore the maaseh is kayam. Comes the Mishnah and concludes and says, V'chol Tanai, sheyesh maaseh betrilato, Tanai batel. V'chol, sheefshalo lekayemo besofo, v'etna emo betrilato, Tenai kayam, which means Rashi. Im tenai kodem lemaaseu, which means let's say you did it the right way. You put the tenai first, and you put the maaseh second. Every good. Ha'i efshal lekayemo, but let's say the tenai is something you cannot fulfill. You put a condition that's impossible. Like the Gemara would say, you know, hareni olela. If you climb up to the sky, I mean, you give some type of tenai that's impossible. Tenai batel. Then the tenai is batel by maaseh kayam. So let's again. Vechosh efshalo lekeimo. Only a tenai that you're able to fulfill eventually, and vitnaim obetzilato, and you put it in the right order, then already it's considered tenai kayam. But if you put it in the right order, but it's a tenai that's impossible to fulfill at the end, then the tenai is going to be batel. Now comes the Gemara analysis. Amai, how could you tell me in these cases of the shomer? Well, let's take the easiest case, the shomer hanam. Make a Shomer Hanam, you made a condition with him. You told him, listen, I'll be a Shomer Hanam for you, by the way, but you know what? I'm not swearing. Which means in the event that something happens, I'm not making a Shivua. So we just said in the Mishnah, you cannot be Matneh on something that's written in the Torah. The Torah gives us clear rules of a Shomer Hanam. So give us Amai. Matneh Amash Katu Batorah, Uvechol Matneh Amash Katu Batorah, Tena O Batel, we learned in the Mishnah that Tena is Batel. So therefore, he should have to swear anyway. So comes around and says, Hamani to be Udai. Tamar Bedavar Shememon. Tenai kayam. Oh,
money.
This is a monetary story. In a monetary situation, you can make conditions on the Torah. What's the logic? Why is monetary different? Because monetary, I can be mochel on my money. I can be mochel. I have a right to be mochel. So when the Baal comes to make a condition with a Shomer Hanam, and the Shomer Hanam says, I'm only accepting it if I don't have to swear. That means really the Baal is being mochel. So therefore, look at the Tanai as a mechila. So on money, conditions are valid. The Tanya, how do we know that you can make a condition on a monetary story? The Tanya, how omer isha, hare at mekudesh di almenat she'er lich alai she'er kesud ve'ona. Hare zu mekudeshet ve'tena'o batel. Devre Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer, bedabar she'ma'amon, tena'o kayam. Famous machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Guy tells the lady, "Hare ad mekudeshet, on one condition, I'm not paying any of my obligations to pay you. The clothes, the sustenance, you know, all my obligations." Oh, so Rabbi Meir says, "What are you talking about? Your matneh mashkatu b'torah. Your tenai is out the window, and you got to pay her these things." Rabbi Yehuda says, "No, it's mamon, and if she accepts it, it's really like she's mohelet, and therefore it's okay. It's okay." So if I can say that the author of our Mishnah that says shomrim are able to make the condition is Rabbi Yehuda that says Adam matneh amash katu b'torah be'anyan mamon. Oh, can you say that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda? What was the problem? Ema sefa. Kol matneh amash katu b'torah tena o batel. Atan Rabbi Meir. Clearly, the Mishnah's next line is and anybody that's matneh amash katu b'torah the tenai is batel. And that's going like Rabbi Meir. Right, I can say that the sefa that said tenai batel is on a non-monetary item. So I can make the Mishnah all like the Biyuda. We go to the next case. Anytime that the maaseh comes first, we said that tenai is batel. Who's the opinion that says that if you put the maaseh first, it's no good? That's the Bimeir. The Tanya Abba Halafta Ish Kefar Hananya Amal Mishum Rabbi Meir. Tanai kodem the maase. Only if the tanai comes before the maase, hareze tanai. Maase kodem the tanai, eno tanai. And therefore, that's the bimeir. So how can you say the first part of the Mishnah is the biyuda, and the second part of the Mishnah is the bimeir? Ela kula bimeiri. The whole Mishnah is the bimeir. Which means, and the second part of Tanai Kodem Maase is a Bimeir. The problem is, how could you make a Tanai Neshomer? How could the Shomer? You mean Matei Amash Ketubah Torah. And the Bimeir does not make a haluk between Mamonot and non-Mamonot. So Gemara says, Veshani Hacha, here's different. The Me'ikara lo she'ebed nafshe. Initially, he never accepted upon himself Shemirah unless these conditions were stipulated, which means, when does a guy officially become a Shomer? Not until he actually makes Meshicha. Correct? Until Meshicha, I can say whatever I want. I'm not a Shomer yet. Which means, you're right, once I make Meshicha, now you say, oh, by the way, I'm making a, I don't want to swear. Too late. You're a Shomer. You got to follow the Torah of Shomer Anam. But if I never even pulled the item yet, and I made a condition, I'm being a Shomer Anam, I'm not that I don't want to, I'm not being Matem Ashkatu Batorah. I never accepted upon myself Shemirah to start off with. I'm not a Shomer Anam yet. So therefore, I can pre-stipulate in such a not Matem Ashkatu Batorah. But in the case of Kiddushin, let's say the other side, Kiddushin. Hare at mikudeshet li, al menat she'en alai to pay she'er and ksut. Once you say alayat mikudeshet li, that's already the deoraita, that's the kiddushin already. You're not holding back any of the kiddushin. The kiddushin, the second set of mikudeshet, it's all by heart. Now you're putting a condition on the kiddushin. Here, I'm not a shomer yet. Until I actually pull the item, I'm nothing. I can do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. I can make all the conditions I want in the world. Meshik, when I say alayat mikudeshet li, finished. It's out. She's mikudeshet.
Switch it.
What do you mean switch it?
Stipulation
first. What am I going to say? No, but the pshat is, once you say Aret Mekudeshet Li, those words,
you're in.
And your stipulation is on those words. Look at the Lashon of Rashi. Rashi says it clear. Look at Rashi, Afilu Tema. Resha Diktani Matne Shomer Hanam Nipater Mishivuara Bimeir. I love matne amash katu b'torah. It's not matne amash. Why? Ela shamado efshi liyot shomer shechazan. I'm not going to even take the item. I don't want to be your shomer. Ela bekach. The shomer lo nachit l'shmira. The shomer doesn't become a shomer ad mashich lebehema until he actually takes the animal. Vehai ki mashich. By the time he took it, kevar pirish amirat she'enu alav shivua. So he went into it already. By the time he took it, the stipulation was there. He never accepted to go down in the regular law of a shomer. I'm not a shomer hanam. I'm a different guy. I'm creating a new item over here. Ela the miksat, right? I want to do the miksat. You're partial. However, whatever you accept, he accepted. Aval mekadesh taisha michi amar lare at mekudeshet li. It kedushala. Finish the kedushin. The kedushin. There's nothing, you're not holding anything back to still make any stipulations. There's no such thing as partial kiddushin where already you're holding back. Once already the kiddushin is out of the box, it's all by heart already. So now when you want to put a stipulation on the kiddushin, it's going to be considered matneh amash katuv b'torah. You can't go into a partial kiddushin. Kedushin is tofes mekula. Mashi'ekan is shemira. Yeah, until I make meshicha, I stipulate whatever I want. I'm going into the deal now with limited liability, with limited shivua aspects over there. Which means, yeah, I'm not a shomer hanam. No, I'm not a shomer hanam. I'm a new person.
Other one, you're saying you want to be married.
Other one, I want a regular kedushin of the Torah. Okay, that mekudesh sheli. Not a new kedushin of the Torah. On menat she'en alayich this over. Hey, you matnei mashkatu b'Torah. What you said, I'm a kodeshet li, finish. Either it is a kiddushin or it's not. There's no 75% kiddushin. But I'm shaking here.
I'm making something new.
But it's not a problem because I didn't start anything yet. I stipulated it before. So comes again what Ran says. Tana. Umatne. Shomer sachal yot kishoel. Now, a shomer sachal, he's upgrading himself now. New case, Shomer Sachar can make a condition that he accepts liability like a Shoel, like a borrower, which is Hayav on everything.
How would
He wants to, you know, the guy maybe doesn't want
to loan it.
Wait, he wants to show his reputation, let's say, how honest he is. You know what? I'll accept it. I'll watch it. You can even trust me. I'll be like a shoir. So he wants, you know, he has a good reputation now. Oh, what an honest guy. The guy's great. This guy's accepting upon himself things like this. So the Gemara says, if he accepts upon himself that, it's considered binding. The Gemara says, Bemai, Bidvarim. Verbally, you cannot accept this. You have to make a kinyan. You can't just tell the guy, I accept. Or accept. You have to make a kinyan that it should be binding. So Amar Shmuel, Bishikanu Miyado. I made a kinyan, which means I took a kinyan sudar. They got the handkerchief. He picked up the handkerchief. Yeah, I accept upon myself the Shemira. You don't have to make a kinyan. Why? Now, with the fact that his reputation is going to go out on the street, that he's a trustworthy guy, he's getting a hana'a. Which means, it's like you're giving me something. The fact that I have a hana'a out in the street, so I'm mishabed myself to watch it on a higher level. Which means, the hana'a that I get now, that I know my reputation is elevated, he's like, wow, what a great shomer. The guy's accepting upon himself higher liability. Already, I'm mishabed myself to the balabayit. If you don't have to actually make an official kinyan. So long as the tenai is doable, then we say it works. That's the Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. That's the Yehuda ben Tema, the author of the Mishnah. Aval hachamim omrim, afal pi she'e efshar lo lekayemo besofo. Even though the tenai is not fulfillable, you cannot fulfill it. Ve'etna'ala mitchilato tena'o kayam. Wow. So it's a big machlok to tenaim over here. If the tenai has to be something that's even doable. What does it mean? Detanya, hare ze gitech almenad sheta'ali larakia. Here's your get on condition that you go to the moon. Almenad shetirdi latom. Or that you go all the way down to the depths. Almenad shetibli'i kanesh l'me'a amma. Or you'll swallow a reed 100 amma long. Almenad sheta'avri etayam gadol beraglaich. Or that you'll cross the Yam gadol, the Mediterranean, you know, with your by foot. So the Gemara says, Nitkayem atnai hare ze get. Lo nitkayem atnai eno get. Tanakama says, okay, condition's a condition. If she fulfills the condition, it's a get. If she doesn't, it's language. Tanakama takes the condition seriously. The Biyuda b'tema omer, kaze get. It's a get regardless. The Tanai is worthless. Since it's unfulfillable, therefore, it's automatic get. So then why do you say such a condition then? So the Gemara, she says, he wanted to taunt her a little. He just wanted to play with her. You want a get? I'll give you a get on the condition you go to the moon. You know she can't go to the moon. And then the case over here is, kaze get. The Tanai is batel. Amar Biyuda ben Tema. Kol she'yif shalel keyemo besofo, v'etna ala betchilato, eno ela kemafliga. V'chashed. Which means, any time a person makes a condition, and the condition is you cannot fulfill it, the Tanai is batel, and he only said it just to torment her. Like I said, I'm not going to give you the get until you jump on the moon. He didn't mean that. That therefore the Tanai is, but and if the get is kashir. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, Amar Rav Nachman. So therefore what? Halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, that says what? If the Tanai is not able to be fulfilled, therefore, the Tanai is going to be batel. Now the Gemara is going to prove this from the last statement of our Mishnah. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, matnitin name daika. Our Mishnah is meduyek like that. Diknani. What is the last line of our Mishnah? Kosh she'efshar lo lekayemo besofo. If it's fulfillable, if you can fulfill it in the end, v'etna'ala mitchilato tena'o kayam. We make a diyuk. Ha efshar lo lekayemo, but if you're not going to be able to fulfill it, tena'o batel. Shma mina. So you see, the Tana Kama of our Mishnah must be Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Hadran alach. Now we begin the eighth perek of Masechet Baba Metzia. Hashoel et hapara. A person is borrowing the para. Borrows a cow. The sha'al ba'alea imma. And he borrowed the owner with it. I mean, with the animal, he borrowed the owner with it. So the owner's going to be with him at the time that he's borrowing it. Imma. Helping,
right?
Or sachar ba'alem, or he hired the owner with it. Bottom line, he has an animal now, borrowed with the worker, with the owner. Or, next case, Sha'al HaBe'alim. Well, the reverse. Let's say he borrowed the owner, Osecharan Ohayedem, Ve'arkach Sha'al HaTapara, and then he borrowed the para, Umeta Patur, Shine'emar, Im Ba'alav Emo, Lo Yishalem. Famous deen, but it comes to a Shoel. Normally, if a guy borrows something and the animal dies, the shoel is chayav and everything. However, there's a special rule by a shoel. If the owner is on site, if the owner is there, ba'alav imo, lo yishalem, doesn't have to be. So in this case over here, the owner's with him. Because he borrowed the owner with the animal. So when the animal died, the owner was there. Therefore, the fellow who borrowed is indeed patur aval. Sha'al et ha-para. Let's say he borrowed the para first. And at a later time, ve'aharkach, sha'al et ha-ba'alim. And then later on, he borrowed the ba'alim. O secheran, o hired them. Umeta chayav, sh'ne'emar be'alav en emo, shalem yishlem. What's that case? Top line. Ashmin, atopisha ya emo b'sh'at unsa. Even though, let's say, the owner was there at the time that the animal died, lo avish she'ela be'alim. You actually have to do it together. It has to be that you hired the owner or you borrowed the owner at the time that you borrowed the animal to be patur. It's got to be b'sh'at she'ela. But if it was done at separate times, so therefore, even though he's there at the time that the animal died, doesn't matter, he's going to be hayav. And we will see why. Comes the Gemara and begins, Midiktani Sefa. It says in the Sefa, Sefa happens to be the second case of the Mishnah. Ve'aharkach sha'al et ha-para. Go back, turn the page back, read the first case in the Mishnah. Ha'shu'el et ha-para ve'sha'al ba'alei ha'imah. You do everything together. You borrow the animal with the guy simultaneously, with the owner simultaneously, or sechar ba'alei ha'imah. Fine. Look at this case now. Sha'al ba'alim, you borrowed the owner first, or sechar or you hired him, ve'aharkach, and then only after sha'al et ha-para. So this case in the beginning of the Mishnah is you hired the borrowed the owner and then you borrowed the para. So the Gemara makes a deal. Midiktani sefa ve'aharkach sha'al et ha-para michlal d'resha diktani imah mamash. Must be the first case is you must have done it mamash simultaneously because you have two cases. You have imah and aharkach. Now aharkach, I know what you did. You told the guy, listen. I want you to work for me. Do me a favor, come with me. And then you said, "I'm on the way." And your animal also, I want to borrow. Okay, that it happened in two separate stages. The reason why you're going to be patur, because bottom line, right now it happened. Let's say in one situation where you hired the owner and then the animal you borrowed. But what's the first case of the Mishnah? Mishnah says if you did it together, imah. Could you tell me how is it possible in one action to hire the owner and borrow the animal simultaneously? The animal, you're not going to borrow until you make meshicha. So how is it possible to do it imah, meaning by hiring the owner, that doesn't make me a shoel on the animal. How is it possible for this to be simultaneously? It's a question in... Oh, very good. So Gemara says, Ima mamash mi mashkahata. How do you have ima mamash? Para b'mishicha u'be'alim b'amira. Which is the owner I could hire verbally. But the animal I don't get until I make mishicha. Okay, we can figure it out. Iba etema kikon dekaima para b'chatzero b'shoel. Delo mechsera mishicha. The animal was standing in the borrower's chaser. So I don't have to make mishicha. It's in my chaser already. So if all I do is tell the owner, listen, I want to hire you and borrow your animal. Bingo. So it all happens at the same time. Because I don't have to make a mashikha. At gufka lo tish'al ad sh'at mashikhat paratka. I don't want to borrow you until I make mashikha. So therefore, he's putting a stipulation. So at the time in the mashikha of the animal, both things hit at the same time. Okay. That's all just a technicality. Now we go to the famous Gemara that's going to give us the source of the four Shomrim of the Torah. Now, in Parashat Mishpatim, we have three parashiyot that are written back to back to back from each other. The first two parashiyot are the ones that need analysis. The third parashah is clearly, it says it's a Shoel. It says, if a person borrows something, and then it clearly says he's hayav for everything. Our questions in the Gemara is going to be the first two parashiyot, which one is the Shomer Hinnam, and which one is the Shomer Sakhar. Gemara says, Tanana tam, we know it. Arba'a Shomrim Hin. Shomer Hinnam, that's Shoel, Nose Sakhar, that's Sukhir. Shomer Hinnam, Nishba, Alakod. He could swear on everything and exempt himself. Right? He's Patur on Geneva, and Aveda, and of course, Ones. The Shu'el Mishalemet HaKol, right? The Shu'el is the polar opposite. He's got to pay for everything. No se sachar v'sucher, the Shomer Sachar and the renter, Nishba'in ala Shivura v'ala Shivuya v'ala Meta, which means they're exempt on Ones. Ones would be, let's say, the animal broke its leg, v'ala Shivuya, or is taken and captive, v'ala Meta, or just died, natural cause. So Mishalmim et Aveda. How do you know these rules that we just said? The Tanu Rabbanan. Parashah Rishona. Open up in the Parashat Mishpatim, Perechabet, Pasuk Vav. Let's read the Pasukim together. Ki yiten ish el re'ehu kesef o kelim neshmor. He gave somebody kesef o kelim. What is that? Money or vessels to watch. The gunav bebet ha'ish. It got stolen. So if you find the ganav, obviously the ganav has to pay twice. If you don't find the ganav, if you remember we learned in Masechet Baba Kama that this is talking about why didn't you find the ganav? Because the guy himself is the ganav. The shomer is to'en ta'anat ganav. Remember what to'en ta'anat ganav is? He comes along and says, yeah, I don't know what, I got stolen. Then we found out, witnesses came and we found out that he himself is the thief himself. So the pasuk is like this: Im lo yimatzei ganav, you can't find the ganav because he's the ganav. V'nichrab ba'alabayit el Elohim, you go to the judges. Im lo shalach yado memlechet re'ehu. So then he has to swear that he wasn't a posheya, that he didn't, you know, that he didn't do anything. Al kol devar pesha, al chor, al hamor, al se, al salman, all items. Al kol avida shiremar ki uze. Okay, that's the deen of that. If you find the ganav has to pay double. That's parashah rishona. Now it says ki yiten ish l'reihu kesef kelim neshmor. I don't know, is he a shomer hanam, this guy? Is he a shomer sechar? I don't know. Next parashah ki yiten ish l'reihu hamor or shor or sev kubal neshmor again. Umet, he died, or nishbar, or nishba. All honest cases, or it got broken leg, or nishba, or it got captivity. Shivu'at Hashem tiyim ben chirim, has to make a shivu'ah. Im lo shalach yado memlechet re'ehu. Okay, v'im ganov yiganev me'imo, and if it got stolen, he has to pay. Yishalem le'ba'alav. Im tarof yitaref, if let's say, also an honest, let's say the animal got devoured by another animal, let him bring a witness to show that it happened. And therefore, he doesn't have to pay. A terefai lo yishalim. So now, look at the next parasha. Next parasha has no controversy. V'chi yishal ish mi'im le'ehu. Guy borrows something. Okay, clearly, we know he's a borrower. V'nishbar omet. I don't care what happened. Died, broke its leg. Be'alav in. And as long as the owner is not with him, like we just learned in our Mishnah, shalem yishalim im be'alav imo lo yishalim. Okay. So now the controversy is, how do we learn the first two parashiyot? So keep the chumash open and let's start. Comes the Gemara and says, "Mina nemidet." The Tanur Rabbanan. Parasha Yishona neemra b'shomer hanam. The first parasha will say b'shomer hanam. Shiniya b'shomer sachad. Shlishit b'shoel. B'shama shlishit b'shoel meforash. V'chi yishal ish b'im reihu v'nishbar. עומד בעליו אין נמו שלם ישלם אלא ראשונה בשומר חנם שנייה בשומר שכר איפוכנה I'll switch it around. Who says? Maybe the first one שומר שכר מסתברה שנייה בשומר שכר שכן חייב בגניבה ועבדה. That's right. In the second parasha we said that if it's גניבה and who הדין עבדה he's חייב. Now it makes sense. Which one of the two שומרים should be חייב and גניבה? If it's a choice between Shomer Hanam and Shomer Sakhar, you're going to put more liability on the Shomer Sakhar because he's getting paid. So it makes more sense to say that the reason why the Shomer that's going to be Hayam and Geneva is going to be the Shomer Sakhar. Gemara says, Adrapa, Rishona b'shomer sachar. Sheken mishalem tashlume kefel b'to'en ta'anat ganav. Yeah, which means, in the first case over here, we have a chumrah. Let's say the guy's to'en ta'anat ganav. The shomer says, hey, I don't know, God stole him. Then the witnesses come along, we find out, he's the thief. What's the Torah say? The Torah says he has to pay kefil. Oh, so that's a chumrah. He has to pay kefil. So it makes more sense to say that the first din is a shomer sachar, because we're making him even pay kefil. There's no kefil in the second shomer. In the second shomer, he has to pay for the geneva off the bat. Which means when the guy comes in, it got stolen. Pay. In the first perasha, if he says it got stolen, he might be off the hook. But if it's found out that he's the thief, he has to pay double. So there's a kefil payment in Parashah Rishonah. There's no kefil payment in Parashah Sheniyah. Is that clear? In Parashah Sheniyah, once he says Geneva, he has to pay. Finish. Pay kerin. He'll never get the kefil. But in the first Parashah, granted, if he says Geneva, he's off the hook. But if he's found to be the ganav, he's going to have to pay double. So it's a chumrah. So maybe I'll say the first parasha shomer sachar. Gemara says, afidu acher, even so, karna belo shivua adifa mekefela b'shvua. Exactly. Which means, having to pay keren off the bat, without even making a shivua, is more strict than having to pay kefil after you made a shivua, which is after you said Geneva, and you swore that it wasn't him, and you know, Pashati and all that. So therefore, the fact that you immediately have to pay, when you say the word Ganavti, boom, pay, that's more strict. Even though it'll never come to Kefil. But that's more strict than coming to Kefil after already he said Ganavti and made a Shavua. Teda, I'll prove to you this concept. That what? That paying immediately is more strict. Tehash Shoel, a borrower. Kol hana'a shelo. Is that right? A shoel, all the hana'a is his. What does that mean, all the hana'a is his? Which means, Rashi, shebihinam u'oseh. He's not paying, he's getting it for free. Ubo haya lo lahmid yoter. Right or wrong? Which means, the biggest one to be mahmid on is what? The shoel. Because he's getting all the benefit of the item, and he's not paying. Now, ve'enu mishalem ela kirin. And what does the shu'el pay? When the shu'el comes along and says it got stolen, what does he pay? He has to pay right away. So you see, you're throwing the book at the shu'el. Because the shu'el is he has all the ana'ah, which means he gets all the benefits of the item, and he cannot, and he's not paying anything, so we should be the most strict. And how do we show being most strict? That if he comes along and says it got stolen, pay right away. So you see, paying right away without a shivu'a is more hamur, is the most strict. Otherwise, we would have told the shu'el, you know what? If let's say the guy said it got stolen, maybe we'd say, don't pay. But if you're going to be the thief, you're going to have to pay kefil. From the fact that we didn't choose that option, and we chose the option of paying off the bat, that shows you paying immediately kerin without a shivua is more hamur than paying kefil only after a shivua. Therefore, once you see by shu'el, that when we Torah threw the book at him, it put the most hamur thing on him, that what? Pay right away. So therefore, when we go back to the Torah law, and we see in the second parasha, that says the ganav has to pay, if he says ganav, he has to pay right away, that must be the shomer sachar, because that's going to be more liability, because he's getting paid. Whereas in the shomer hinnam, he doesn't have to pay right away. Ganav, he's off the hook. But if we find out that it is the ganav, he'll have to pay careful. Now the Gemara goes into a side point. That shoel, kol hana'a shelo, you tell me the shoel, he has all the benefits, he has everything to gain. After all, he's borrowing it, and he doesn't have to pay anything. Is that so? Well, doesn't he have to feed the animal? It's not all the hana'a is his, he has to pay for feeding the animal. Gemara says, okay, easy. He borrowed the animal in a place where it was a swampland, where it could eat from the swampland. If it wasn't out of pocket, he didn't have to pay anything. What do you mean? But he has to watch it. He has to watch the animal. That's a responsibility. It's going to cost him money. Benetar mata. We're talking about where he lives in a city where there's paid watchmen to watch all the animals in the city. So really, he's covered from that. Also, it's not going to cost him extra money to watch the animal. The iba etema lo tema kol hana'a shelo. Ela ema rovana shelo. Okay, don't be so technical. Which means when we said all the hana, he gets all the benefits. We didn't mean all. We mean meaning he's in the best position. Meaning the majority of the benefits are to vibayt ema b'sheilat kelim. Or I could say very simple. You know, in the case of Shu'el, he borrowed vessels. In borrowing vessels, you don't got to feed it. You don't got to watch him from getting into trouble. And therefore, in that case, really, it's called hana'ah, shelo. So that took care of that issue. Now the Gemara says, noseh sachar, shomeh sachar. Vasokher is a renter, nishba'in ala shivura, ba'ala shivuya, ba'ala meta. Okay, they swear on honest cases, which means if the animal died, it got taken into captivity, and things like that, or broke its leg, they're patur on that. But they just have to make a swear that they weren't negligent, and they're patur. Umishalmim et aveda et geneva. But they have to pay for aveda for loss, if it got lost or it got stolen. Now, bishlama geneva dichtiv im ganov yiganev me'imo yishalim nebalav. Geneva is written clearly, by the way. It says, im ganov yiganev. If it gets stolen, you got to pay. Ela aveda minalan. How do you know aveda? Don't say anywhere in the parasha the word aveda. How do you know that Shomer Sechar has to pay if the item got lost? It's just im ganov yiganev. You have your chumashim. Look at pasuk yud aleph. The im ganov yiganev me'imo yishalem lebaalav. So comes the Gemara and says, Netanya im ganov yiganev. Any ela geneva. Abedah minayin. Talmud what? Im ganov yiganev mikol makom. Double language. Ganov yiganev. From the double language, we come to include aveda. Hanicha leman damar lo amninan debra Torah kilshon bnei Adam. We have a famous machloket. Does the Torah talk in the vernacular of people or not? Some say, you know what? The Torah don't be medek when it says ganov yiganev. That's the way of saying it. Yeah, that's the way people talk. And the Torah talks in the regular vernacular. Now, there's another shita that says, no. Torah doesn't talk in our vernacular. So even though it would be normal for us to say ganov yeganev, but if the Torah is saying ganov yeganev, that's an extra word there. Therefore, according to that opinion that says the Torah doesn't talk in vernacular, so the word ganov yeganev, one of them is extra, to teach me avedah. But if you say the Torah talks in a normal way, so ganov yeganev is not extra. Ma'ika lememar. So amri b'ma'arabah, very simple, I don't need an extra word. Amri kal v'chomer. Uma geneva shekeroba le'ones mishalem. Aveda shekeroba le'fshi'a loko sheken. Very simple. If you hayav on geneva, geneva is more close to ones, and you still hayav. Aveda, which is more close to posheya, ko sheken. Oh, ve'idach. Hey, the other rabbi, you have a kava homer. What did you need the extra word? According to the opinion that says the Torah doesn't talk in the vernacular. Therefore, the word ganov yiganev is extra. What do you need it for? Don't write it all. You have a kava homer. Gemara answers, miltal dat yave kava homer, tarach vekatav lakra. Sometimes, things that you can deduce from a kava homer, the Torah writes it anyway. So therefore, ganov yiganev teach me avidah. What about the kava homer? In the chanamet. But the Torah toiled and wrote it. Anyway, Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen ve'amen.